We demand our liberty.
But this election is not just about what laws we're going to pass.
Americans have come back from some pretty tough economic times.
But we can and must do better.
And we are going to make our country great again.
From KUT News and the Texas Tribune, this is a quick little mini episode of The Ticket. Jay and I are going to try to talk a little bit about what we saw this week on Super Tuesday. And coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to have an interview with Matt Katz, who does the Christy Tracker podcast and website for New Jersey Public Radio and WNYC. He's clearly had a lot to think about with Chris Christie's involvement in the Donald Trump presidential campaign.
Well, he gets another bite at the apple. Even though his candidate has crashed and burned in the presidential race, he's still going to be the gift that keeps on giving throughout the Trump candidacy.
I actually listened to his most recent podcast. They've started going to once every 2 weeks instead of every week because, of course, Christie's not a candidate anymore. And he said up until Friday, you know, even Friday morning, they were like, gosh, you know what? What are we going to talk about with Christie now? And clearly, yeah, they don't have a problem with that now. But so, Jay, let's talk real quickly about Super Tuesday. This was seen as kind of make or break for Ted Cruz. Heading into Super Tuesday, the narrative, in my opinion, was, is Donald Trump inevitable? Can Marco Rubio continue to get that support from establishment Republicans to coalesce around him? And, you know, it looked like he was the one who was kind of surging into second. And then is this the last stand for Ted Cruz? And I think we saw last night, especially up until we finally got those late results from Minnesota, that, that Ted Cruz, he has the argument. I mean, I think he can make the argument, I'm the one that everyone should be coalescing around to try and go after Trump, not Marco Rubio. What do you think?
I think everybody was able to take a little something away from last night. First of all, in terms of Ted Cruz, he avoided a disaster. Losing in his home state would have been a disaster.
Yeah.
We had historic Republican turnout here. He has now proved that he can do pretty well amid that. But look, he didn't get a majority in his home state. He was still held to like 44% or whatever it was. But I do think that he also is able to say, look, I won three states. He was only really supposed to win one. Trump was up in the polls in both Alaska and in
Oklahoma,
and Cruz can also point to Oklahoma and say, and he already has done this as I predicted and you predicted, this is a closed primary. Republicans can vote in it, and he won in that contest. So I think this is fairly close to a disaster scenario for Republicans because. Trump did not put it away last night. He came fairly close, but I think the chances of a contested convention have just gone up pretty significantly because AP now has a delegate tracker out showing that, I mean, Cruz did pretty well in the delegate count last night.
Yeah.
Particularly out of Texas, he won. Rubio didn't get to the 20% threshold, and so Trump got some delegates, but Cruz got the lion's share of delegates. So Cruz isn't going to drop out. Rubio's not going to drop out. Kasich's not going to drop out. This thing goes on at least until March 15th, where I think Trump could put it away. But now there's been some pretty serious attacks on him, and there's some chinks in the armor. So this thing is going to keep going.
Yeah, I hate to be just another member of the media that reevaluates what we think the race will be based on what Donald Trump has done. But, you know, I really kind of thought going into Super Tuesday that we could see, especially if Ted Cruz had not won Oklahoma, and maybe even if Marco Rubio had not won Minnesota just by, you know, a slim margin. But I thought that maybe we were going to have a clearer picture in the Republican Party. Now, of course, like you just said, okay, I think that the clearer picture will come March 15th because at the moment we have Donald Trump way up in Ohio and Florida in the polls, and those are winner-take-all states. So none of this nibbling around the edge. You get the whole piece of the pie. You get the whole pie, excuse me. From two big states, big delegate states, Florida and Ohio, Donald Trump sweeps those two, And, you know, it may not be inevitability in getting that nomination, but boy, it sure does put him in a good position for the rest of the primary season heading into that that convention that we don't know if it'll be, you know, the Trump coronation or some kind of, WWE brawl.
Right. Well, and if you look at, you know, just demographically, Trump has won states as diverse as New Hampshire and South Carolina and now Massachusetts, where he just had a blowout.
Yeah.
He blew it out in Massachusetts. And then the Deep South. I mean, and then if you look also, though, at look at Texas, for example, I mean, I was thinking, I mean, 71% of the voters voted for either Trump or Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them are these outsider candidates that, are, you know, want to overturn the system, the Washington cartel, and all of that. So, and of course, I'm not sure who the insiders in Washington hate more, Trump or who they fear more, Trump or Cruz. So this is a really surly electorate. And I mean, just fasten your seatbelts. I mean, I've never seen anything like this.
Oh, no. I was thinking about people, of course, have been saying, well, again, now, especially Cruz supporters and Cruz, it's time for Rubio to drop out. He only won one state. I think at the moment it's not really up to Rubio. It's kind of up to those Beltway funders. You know, if the quote unquote establishment Republicans want to continue giving Rubio money to try and win Florida, then, you know, that is going to keep him in the race. You know, I think it'd be really interesting to be a fly on the wall and figure out what those campaign, what those donation calls are like for the next few days.
This plays into Trump's hands, but he hasn't won handily enough to put this away. He could, if he had done better in Texas, where there were so many delegates, if he had gotten Oklahoma instead of Cruz, you know, there were a variety of ways that I think he could have put an end to this last night, and he didn't do it. So we're still all systems go on the Trump train, but it could be derailed.
I think it is going to be an interesting argument that is made, though. I mean, I think you're right. I don't think anybody's dropping out, but I think there is an argument to be made that if nobody drops out, then of course Trump can win Florida with 40%. Of course Trump can win Ohio with 40%. Again, winner take all, none of this proportional crap
right.
that we've had to deal with so far. And therefore, there's your argument. Oh my gosh, everyone else really does need to drop out because
yeah.
we can't let them have those winner take all states. But again, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I don't see anyone dropping out. But it's just interesting to keep in mind that everyone's staying in the race when we get out of the proportional states probably helps Donald Trump a lot more than people think.
Well, listen, I think that fairly soon we should have an episode on what does a contested convention look
yes.
like, really going deep into that, because I think the chances of that have gone up fairly significantly.
You're listening to The Ticket. I'm Ben Philpott, and as you can probably hear, I'm not in the studios anymore. I'm at my house now. Actually, house-sitting all day long while we get a new air conditioner and furnace put in the house. Nothing quite like home ownership here in Texas. As we leave Super Tuesday, let's now head to what was really one of the biggest pieces of news in the last week, other than the Republican debate that just happened last night. And is that Chris Christie, about a week ago, endorsed Donald Trump for president. It's been a whirlwind week since that endorsement for Chris Christie, so I thought I'd bring in one of the best experts on Christie in the whole country. That's Matt Katz. He's a public radio reporter for New Jersey Public Radio and WNYC's The Christie Tracker. He's also written a book about the governor. I talked with Matt in one of our studios earlier this week. You were where I was 4 years ago. I had been following Rick Perry for 5 months. All of a sudden, he's out of the race. What was kind of your emotional state? What was your physical state after finishing up this long run following Chris Christie?
The only way I can describe it, it just felt sort of heavy. You know, I wasn't upset, obviously. I haven't, you know, I'm not rooting for him. I wasn't crying that night like his supporters were in any stretch of the imagination. In fact, myself and a bunch of other Christie reporters who have been following him around for some time, we all had a whole lot of scotch until 2 a.m, just talking about the campaign and having some laughs. But there was a sense a more serious sense that I felt of just like the tragedy of it, not a political tragedy. And that kind of gave me something of a heavy feeling. He has so much political talent. He could have been such a significant player in this race, but the most ridiculous scandal ever, or at least ridiculous scandal not involving sex ever, hit him in January 2014, that whole Bridgegate thing. And then all of a sudden, all these other people are getting involved in the race. His donors are playing footsie with people like Jeb Bush. And then, you know, Donald Trump comes in and bigfoots everybody. So there's something sort of tragic about the Chris Christie story. He had been really laying the groundwork for this for so many years. He could have really been a contender. And then in the state where he had laid, you know, put everything into, this was where he was going to win. This was New Hampshire. It was a total New Hampshire strategy. And he got destroyed. He didn't even put up a fight. He'd been there more than anybody else. It was kind of pathetic, his performance. And in that sense, I felt the heaviness of tragedy, if that makes any sense. And then I felt relief because I got to reacquaint myself with my children again, who I hadn't seen in quite some time. So that was nice. And then, you know, it was all super quiet for some time because Christie went back to New Jersey and kept his head down. And then...
I was going to say, you probably, you started planning vacations. You started, watering plants again around the house.
I exercise 3 times in a week, unbelievably enough. I went back to the gym. Yeah, exactly right. Watering plants. Exactly.
And then Friday happened. What was kind of your first immediate reaction hearing what I think most people were just shocked to hear?
So I wasn't actually surprised. That was not my first reaction. My first reaction was, how am I going to... I was with my one-year-old son at lunch because he was sick and I was at home from school. So I took him out to a diner with a buddy of mine. And my first reaction was like, how am I going to start to turn... How am I going to turn on CNN and watch this thing? So we actually turned on CNN on my cell phone and watched the press conference. And in watching it, I wasn't shocked like everybody else for 2 reasons. First, they have a personal relationship. They've been friends for 14 years, Trump and Christie. They have dinner periodically. They are, have a similar personality types. It makes sense from the personal level that Christie would endorse his closest friend in the field. Secondly, it makes sense from a political standpoint if you're Chris Christie, at least on the surface. At least that's what I thought on Friday. And that's certainly what Chris Christie thought, because he made the sober calculation that Donald Trump is going to win the nomination. And then if Donald Trump wins the nomination, he wants to be the guy who's the first one, the first real bona fide establishment politician to get on board that Trump train, which could potentially, yield a job in the administration like Attorney General or White House Chief of Staff. So obviously, he's going to make the correct political move, which is to go with the winner. So I understood it from those two standpoints. Therefore, I wasn't shocked. But as the weekend progressed, and as the rollout of the endorsement moved from Saturday to Sunday, I was increasingly in disbelief about how poorly he was doing out there, Christie was, as this Trump surrogate, and also increasingly wondering about what the immediate and long-term political ramifications of this would be for Christie. And it became evident to me that this was not going to work out nearly the way Christie had expected. Unless, of course, Trump becomes president and he gets to be attorney general. But in the immediate, right now, he is dealing with an absolute storm back home in New Jersey and nationally. The revolt against him really shocked me. That's, I guess, where my surprise was.
So I've seen, what, at least six newspapers, is that right, that are calling on him to resign?
Seven. Breaking news. Make it seven. Yeah, the Star Ledger, the largest newspaper in New Jersey, has now called on him to resign as well.
And so he, on top of that, he had a meme-worthy performance standing behind Donald Trump in a press conference this week. What is this going to do for not just his brand, but maybe even, you know, does this hurt the Republican brand within New Jersey?
Yeah, for sure. And Republicans in New Jersey are really concerned about this. You know, Donald Trump has said things that Chris Christie wholeheartedly disagrees with. In fact, I don't know if there's any policy positions that Trump has taken in this campaign that Christie hasn't made fun of or openly disparaged. I mean, he disagrees with the wall. He disagrees with the Muslim ban. He disagrees with Social Security and Syria, all this stuff that Trump has said Christie is against. Beyond that, he's a different politician in terms of how he deals with communities of color. Trump obviously has demonized certain communities of color. He has made race, put race to the forefront of this campaign. Christie, on the other hand, has reached out to Muslims, Hispanics, African-Americans in New Jersey. He won 51% of the Hispanic vote. He has called out members of his own party for saying that a judge he appointed who is Muslim was going to practice Sharia law. He has been extremely progressive when it comes to dealing with non-white constituents in an effort to bring them into the Republican tent. He is a big tent Republican. Donald Trump has not shown himself to be that. And in that way, that's what people closest to Christie were most concerned at, that the progress that Christie has made, the hard work he has done in communities of color through the years, is just wiped away by this endorsement. And then Republicans in New Jersey, to more specifically answer your question, are concerned on the same front, like whether they be chairman of county Republican parties in diverse communities, whether there are local mayors running for re-election in November in diverse communities. They are nervous to be running with Trump on top of the ticket. They are concerned that the leader of the Republican Party in New Jersey, Chris Christie, has endorsed Trump. It is causing great consternation within Republican circles in New Jersey. In fact, only one county chairman of 10 that were interviewed by Politico the other day said that they were going to agree to go along with Christie's endorsement. He has asked the Republican Party in New Jersey to come along with him and endorse Trump, and only one county chair has so far agreed to do that. Four sitting Republican legislators so far have said that Christie made the wrong move and have openly criticized him, which, if you know New Jersey Republican politics, that is highly, highly unusual. Republicans in New Jersey never say anything bad about Chris Christie. So this has had deep ramifications and likely permanent for the rest of Christie's term ramifications in New Jersey.
To just kind of flip that a little bit before we wrap up, we've now seen other, you know, quote unquote, establishment, serious Republicans getting, endorsing Donald Trump, Governor Scott from Florida getting on the bandwagon most recently. Does that help mitigate some of the anger towards Christie that other Republicans are saying, you know, well, this seems inevitable with Trump, so let's get behind our candidate?
I guess that's a question that requires us to look into the future, I think, because if the Trump candidacy results in a civil war within the Republican Party, then Christie would be blamed for hastening that. If Trump somehow is able to be a unifying voice in a general election and he wins a nomination and he changes his rhetoric and then he becomes president, it'll be a lot easier for Christie politically because he'll be seen as politically correct, or and I should say politically correct with a small p and a small c. He'll be seen to have made the politically savvy move. But I don't know. He's definitely done some damage that he can't undo. When the person who co-chaired your finance committee, Meg Whitman, former gubernatorial candidate in California, comes out and says you made a horrendous decision that's going to hurt the country, when Christy Todd Whitman, who is a former Republican governor of New Jersey, perhaps the most prominent, certainly the most prominent Republican governor in New Jersey since Christie, or leading up to Christie, Chris Christie, when she's openly and repeatedly criticized Christie over this move. This is very confusing that there's two New Jersey Republican governors, both whom are named Christie. But the bottom line is Christy Todd Whitman, former governor of New Jersey, has criticized Christopher Christie, current governor of New Jersey, openly for this endorsement. And that is really unusual. I have not seen her criticize the governor for anything so far in his term. And she has been really, she's been on our airwaves. She wrote an editorial in the Time magazine that was headlined, "Chris Christie is a Desperate Opportunist." Some of this damage is going to be permanent. I mean, we already saw Chris Christie's approval ratings in New Jersey have dipped to 27%, which is like, you know, a nightmare scenario for any politician.
Matt Katz is a reporter for New Jersey Public Radio and WNYC's The Christie Tracker. He's also author of the book American Governor Chris Christie's Bridge to Redemption, which, based on our conversation, it looks like he may have driven off the bridge.
Driven off the bridge. Somebody said, well, maybe his soul jumped off the bridge. Yeah, there's many ways to look at it. It looks like if there will be redemption for Chris Christie, it's been somewhat delayed.
Thanks so much for talking with me today.
You got it, Ben. Thanks.
That's it this week for The Ticket. You can listen to all of our episodes by heading over to theticket2016.com or search The Ticket 2016 on iTunes and in the soon-to-be-opened podcast section of Google Play.
To keep up with us and the 2016 primaries, follow us on Twitter at theticket2016 and keep sending those emails, theticket2016@gmail.com.
The Ticket is a co-production of KUT News and the Texas Tribune. KUT News managing editor Matt Largie helps edit everything and keep us in line. And our theme music is by Ben Root. Thanks for listening.